Mike O'Mara, Radio Entertainment. You can listen to The Mike O'Mara Show at MikeO'MaraShow.com.
Let's get started.
The best of O'Mara.
Happy Friday. Happy Friday. Woo! I have to tell you that in these divisive times, there occasionally is a moment of sunshine and just a moment where you realize, wow, all of us human beings, we start out A-okay.
Yeah.
And I will tell you that on my Thursday, and I'll be honest with you, something I don't always love doing because I am the Mr. Mom for two kids, mm-hmm. and I pick them up at school. And by the way, later in the show, I want to talk about, I got a chance to listen, and God knows the guys have listened to me bitch about the sound of the show for a long, long time. And it was nice to turn it on and finally have it perfect. It only took a decade. So it was really, really terrific.
Like a fine
to hear.
Wine, Mike.
It was
more
was
like wine, cheese.
But DGH. Ever vigilant,
yes.
Because it was just nice to hear all the levels right and hear the sound clear as crystal. And this is on the heels of the other day watching a video clip. I dove into the show. I don't watch what I do or listen to what I do very often. When I do, I watch it really purely from a technical standpoint, or if there's something particularly funny
like
that one of you guys
director.
Did. Yeah, I don't like watching my own stuff. It doesn't. Yeah. If I do something like a new impression, I want to see what it sounds like. I'll check that out. But the way Maddie directs the video, if you haven't gotten a chance to go to our YouTube channel and check out the way this show looks, it's just funny because when we're going and all of us are going, Maddie is on
the
case.
She got the rhythm. She got the rhythm.
She got the rhythm of the show.
Of the nation.
And then the audio of the show, which really has been inconsistent over the years. It has. That's the bottom line.
That's just
and you know, you guys are listening to it. You, Rob, and you, Pony, are obviously doing a good job with that. So I'm listening, waiting for school to close at 2:05. I am in the parking lot at 1:30. No, I'm sorry, 1:20. 1:20.
So 45 minutes in advance.
And there are 7 or 8 cars in front of me.
Ooh,
I hate that.
Line.
That's so stupid that it should have to be
like
that
a gumball
way.
Race.
Yeah. Well, it's you know, it's the volume of students. So there's no other way to really do it. And I think they run it like a machine. Mm. It's efficient. And man, oh man, love to see that principal out in front of the school managing that pickup herself. That is, and I bet she's been doing that. She's been there for a long time.
How many pencils does she have in her hair? You think?
She gave me a
like the lady
red,
in Ferris Bueller. Yeah,
she gave me a red, like card that she put in under the.
That's like having white rocks in your front yard. That means you're in.
Yeah,
I don't know what it was for, but she was putting in all the other cars in the cars
that
in
means
front of me.
Call
I think,
me.
I think you're called a silver fox in a different type of community.
So, perhaps you'd like to spend a little after school time. But
she got the walkie-talkie, and she's going back and forth. She looks at one card. Mm. I got Michael and Donnie, and she's going back and forth. So anyway.
That's cool.
Rob motivated me by saying that one of his pleasures in life was to listen to the kids' conversations. Mm. And they're hysterical because they're little human beings that have it all figured out. And when they talk amongst each other, they give their opinions and they're
what do they talk about? What could they possibly talk about?
And are they all hopped up because they're right out of school? Is that part of it?
They're all hopped up and they're going to golf, which they're really excited
about.
That's great. And the conversation yesterday was about Deputy Dan or whatever
Deputy Dog.
Whatever the school deputy that's there, the Lee Sheriff's deputy that's there. And they're talking about Donnie says, I want to be a sheriff when I grow up. And Michael says, I want to be a SWAT team member. It's just entertaining.
Oh, wow.
They like that. And it's sad a little bit that you have to have an officer at school. But it's neither here nor there. You know, it's yes, it is.
You need to have Deputy Dog,
Mike. It's safety first. This guy's got to walk around the perimeter.
Yeah.
Deputy Dog.
That's more for Florida.
Deputy Dog.
I can't do it anymore. That's what I can't do.
Muskie the Muskrat.
But I'm listening and I say to myself, I'd love to do, with Donnie's father's permission, I'd love to do an interview with these guys. So I record it. And then Donnie's dad comes to pick him up, a really nice guy, and says, yeah, yeah. He
sure.
laughs when
Why
he hears
not?
It.
Yeah.
He said, sign here, initial here.
Here it is, though. This is the how do I describe it? This is just human beings that haven't been just worn on by the world. I'm not articulating.
Unsullied, untainted.
They're just
pure
little guys that are crazy about each other, and they love golfing together, and they're nice kids, and they're kind to each other. And, you know, it's a little something that I hope it makes you feel as good as it made me feel. But I'm calling this because I would love to revisit this. The kindergarten interview. Very brief, and I'll
interview
play it for you right now. By the way, I thought I'd do it later in the show. I'm not. I'm doing it at the front of the
ready
show.
Ready to go.
So
this
when I
great.
Say welcome back, when I say disregard the welcome back to the Mike O'Mara show that I see, let's play the interview with Donnie and Michael, two best pals on the Mike O'Mara show. Welcome back to the Mike O'Mara show. Very special interview today. We have Michael and his best friend, Donnie. Hi, Michael.
Hi.
Hi, Donnie.
Hi.
How you guys doing today?
Good.
Michael, how are you?
Good.
Donnie, how are you?
Good.
What's new? What are you guys up to?
Well, we're playing Manhunt.
What's Manhunt, Donnie? Oh, you want to answer, Michael?
He doesn't really know what's Manhunt. So, Manhunt is a game where it's kind of like military, but it's actually not. It's actually Cade, my cousin, taught me this. So, you kind of just have to go around the house, and whoever, survives going around the house, going back into my bedroom, wins.
That's a fascinating story. I appreciate that. That's wonderful. Donnie. Hey, Donnie. No, put the gun down, please. Donnie, do you like the game?
Yes.
Are you looking forward to going to play golf today?
Yes.
What do you like best about golf?
That Michael hits like Tiger Woods and he's the best golfer I know.
Oh, you just said that Michael hits like Tiger Woods? Did you hear that, Michael? Put the gun down, please, for a second. He just said you hit the ball like Tiger Woods. That's a pretty good friend, isn't it?
Uh-huh. I said that I was trying to encourage him once.
Yes, and I remember that, and that was nice. And what do you like best about Donnie?
Well, he's a really nice kid, and even though he's 5 and I'm 6, we're still best friends.
And what do you like about Michael, Donnie?
That he's nice and he plays nice.
Oh, you know what? You guys are buddies, and now you got your arm around each other, and you're going over to the driving range to learn how to play golf. So say, scream goodbye, listeners.
Bye!
There it is. That's it. That's the little guys right there.
So
there
sweet.
Are. His so sweet. Aren't
yeah,
they?
Breast
aren't they
friends.
Sweet? His
breast yeah, friends.
Breast, friend. Breast friends. We're breast
hopefully
friends.
They will be when they get older.
Even though Donnie is. By the way, Donnie's 6 in November, so they're not that far apart in age either. So
your son's verbal skills have really advanced. Like words like encourage. That's crazy.
Yeah. He's on the range and
also redshirted.
Yeah, true enough. True enough.
Redshirt, a little older, and just nice kids. And they like each other. And
what's
just,
the story with the artillery arsenary? Yeah, whatever you've got.
My house. Look, okay. You know the route I've gone.
Yes.
With my anti-gunness.
Yes.
Is that you let them play? I played with guns when I was a little kid. Didn't affect me growing up. We don't have real, you know,
they're Nerf
real
guns, right?
They're Nerf guns.
Okay. Yeah.
And
Nerf
if you don't let a kid have a gun, he's going to pick up a stick that's shaped like a gun and make it be a gun. It's just the way kids are.
That's the way they chase each other and they do that whole thing.
At least today's Nerf guns, and correct me if I'm wrong, because I've seen my niece and nephews play with them. They're neon. They don't look like real guns.
No,
I remember when I was a child, the Super Soakers looked like real guns.
Yeah.
And if you saw two Haitians, a Bolivian kid, and three white guys that were roughly, I would say, 8 running around the neighborhood, we looked like a little guerrilla militia.
Yeah.
And now you know they're toys. Now you know they're toys.
I probably win the award for growing up with guns where for years and years and years, I played in the backyard with a wooden, what I believe was a toy gun. And then one day I said, Dad, what are those what's that squiggly writing on that on the top? Mm-hmm. He said, that's Japanese. It was a real Japanese gun that he threw out. He hated the war so much that he didn't want to have anything. It's not like he was saving it and put it. I'm sure guys saved the swag they got from souvenirs and stuff like that. But my dad.
Ears and such. And
In Glastonbury, Connecticut, it's somewhere buried deep under the leaves, I think. That's where it is.
Wow.
That's where it exists right now. But they're,
turn.
What's that?
That conversation took quite the turn.
No, but at least we have the topic for
these
the next
beautiful kids.
We have the topic for the next interview.
The war.
The war.
No, but you know, but it, the war.
Don't bring up the war,
it's
Oscar.
The war.
The war. You know. Is your son that great a golfer?
No, not yet. No, he is
better than Donnie, though.
He is. I don't really. Donnie's. They're a different. Donnie just started.
Okay.
And Michael's been starting a while, and they're just. Here's the deal at this age. And I talked to Ryan about this. Right now, the goal is just to make them like it.
Not force it upon them, but do
what you can to make them like it. The idea of going to get your golf lesson with your best friend is pretty positive.
Well, it helps,
so when this opportunity came up, I said, let's go for it. And then at the same time, they got a new guy up here in Cocoonville who is just fantastic, who's just a good guy, likes kids. Has his own kids. He's a young dad, and he is terrific with the kids. So the whole thing is kind of positive. And look, where I live, it is incumbent upon me to provide stuff for those kids to do. Play dates are important.
Yes.
Taking them out to do stuff together is important. Because otherwise, I get, you know, with all due respect, the neighbor down the street brought my little Monster House thing by the other day. And that was wonderful because she acknowledged my kids. And what I said to her yesterday, because they blew off the window, she said, did you throw them away? I said, yeah, I'm sorry. I said, but let me just tell you something. There are very few people in this neighborhood that acknowledge that we have a kid.
Yeah.
And to have somebody that's a neighbor be excited
super
enough
sweet.
When you bring something over is super, super kind. So, Joanne, that one's for you. It's really, really nice. Most people are just like, they'll be like, oh, what an oddity. It's like you'd see somebody
like you
as
care.
A panda.
Like, why do you care?
A panda.
Well, there's sweetness. There's kindness.
Yeah.
But there's also, like when I go to a restaurant and I've got a kid with me, there are moments where I have had older people literally walk to our table and speak to us, like this old man that said, I saw you interacting with your son. I was a teacher for 27 years, and I wanted to come over and just say hi because he looks like such a nice young man. That's, to me, a real... I will, when I'm doddering, and my child is 16, I will do that. Then there are the people that are down here because they've raised families, and they have come to escape and...
Even worse, the people that are so selfish that they've never had a family, so they can't put themselves into your situation, and those are the most selfish.
No one
of all.
Comes to mind.
None for mine either.
What? Well, I got. I'm still working through my life, people. I don't have to have kids right away.
I don't know if Rob was talking about you.
Oh, sorry.
I'm not really sure if he was talking about you.
I got a lot of people telling me that
strollers.
I need to.
Some people
to freeze eggs and
I interact with cats.
We'll see a doctor.
you're doing your own show there right now.
And you know what? You're feeling a little defensive.
Yeah,
unnecessarily.
You didn't need to get defensive.
I forgot about that guy.
I don't think there's a chance in hell that one way or another, you and Shannon are not taking care of a little person at some point in your life. I think 4 years.
No, four children.
Four children,
two sets of twins.
Yeah, I think it's I'm okay.
But we're gonna have to pay for it, and then we'll get two each time.
Yeah, it's good.
I'm living
like Costco.
I'm living proof that there is no timetable.
That is true.
Looking around.
That is true. And he's fantastic.
Yes,
amazing.
And so are my daughters, and I love the way it's played out. I'm very, very lucky. Very, very fortunate.
But as someone who has been through the rodeo three times now, twice for me, I have made a solemn vow that when I see someone perhaps having trouble with a kid on an airplane or in a public place or a store or a restaurant, I will always try to lend any sort of sympathy that I can because there, but for the grace of God, that's tough. But these are human beings. As you said, these are little human beings.
I have to qualify my comment about that.
Okay.
Because yes, when it comes to a parent having trouble with a child who is aware of others,
okay,
I will be.
I'm with you.
I think back to, this was the old Don and Mike show. We were traveling somewhere, or maybe I was going somewhere on an airplane, and there was a father, and you know who I'm talking about, the parent that has to verbalize everything to their child.
Yeah.
And I think it was Joshua was the kid's name.
I remember.
And says, Joshua, now, what we're going to do, and then Joshua's got questions, because he's very precocious, and he's going, where do the planes go? Well, the planes, Joshua, are going to back up out of the gate right now. And then what's going to happen to, well, Joshua, the plan, and I'm sitting there, oh, for Christ's sake, you're going to do your little tutorial here.
Well, that's as much for Dad as it is for Joshua. You know this, of course.
Can't you do your tutorial at a volume level that's reasonable? And this discussion went on for the whole, at a volume level that was out of, it was ridiculous.
Okay, but it's the volume level, not the conversation. Right.
It's the volume level and the conversation.
Because I would want, I'd bet $100 right now if I had in my pocket. I think I have 40. I'd bet what I have in my pocket that you tell little Michael exactly what type of plane you guys are getting on, who manufactured it. This is what it's about.
Not on the plane, probably around, in and around.
Okay. Yeah.
I'm really all about, because I'm a phobic flyer, Oscar. I'm all about, you know, quiet, calm on planes. Carla will tell you, early in our relationship, Carla didn't give a rat's ass, didn't, and no fear of flying at all. And she'd want to chat me up, like we're getting on the number one runway, getting ready to, you know,
to
rotate wheels up. And I'm like, don't talk to me now. Please, for the love of God, don't talk to me now. That's the maximum time. I just like peace. I'd like that to be. And then, you know, landing with applause or laughter or whatever, I'm all.
Can you still rub Jameson's on your kids' gums before you take off?
No, it's actually vodka. Jameson's.
Okay. That's for teething.
He didn't like the smoky flavor.
No, we didn't.
The worst one was me when I had my my first daughter, Catherine, when she had ear problems. She was crying. Little bitty baby going to Arizona, and a guy across from me going,
The hem and the haw,
looking over at us and going, shaking his
head. You need oxygen,
That's the most villainous thing you can do, I think.
Yes.
Because you think absolutely. There is one person in the world that has a crying infant that is proud or unembarrassed about it. No, you're miserable about it. That's like telling someone they're fat. They know.
Yeah, I heard.
You know, this is the thing about
yesterday.
Oscar,
I'm sorry, buddy.
Are you watching the Florida State behind the scenes, kind of like the Hard Knocks, but
the
college football version of it?
Yes.
The coach brings his family. I think Family Thursday is where they bring him to practice. Says he wants to show these young
manufactured
men.
Manufactured,
you know,
in my eyes.
It's what do you mean manufactured in your eyes?
Because you see. Okay.
I thought it was the first time I thought the coach was great. Better than that douche with the bullhorn going, hey, I'm a tough football guy. Get ready. Morning, ladies. Morning.
That ladies? Douche. Really?
May he never be a head coach of the I don't know who the head coach of Florida State
I'll
is.
Find
Not
out
Florida
right
State.
Now.
The University of the Florida Gators.
Yeah, the Gators.
But I liked him, and he brings his kid out, and he's throwing the ball on the practice
How
field
old's the kid
with
about?
His young son. Yeah, hey, I want to say 9 or 10,
okay.
Something like
all
that.
Right.
And he's throwing the ball around, and it's immediately, I said to Carly, he said, I just love little guys like that. I think they're just so cool. Little boys, having my first little boys got me all pumped up for having a little boy and throwing the ball and doing all that stuff. It's a lot of it. Now, they can drive you nuts occasionally, but this is the Hard Knocks of the college, right? They're running out
of HBO. Does he love baseball or football yet?
No.
As a sport to watch?
He is aware of sports. He is not into watching sports yet. I would love, you know, I guess I was more sedentary than my son I would be at my father's knee on Sundays watching the Giants when I was 5
years old. Don't worry about it, Mike. When I was 5 or 6, I had no interest in sports either.
The show's 24/7 college football, and it's following the Florida Gators.
What channel is it on?
HBO.
HBO.
And
home box office, Mike.
And while
the home box office.
The reason why I say it's contrived. And maybe it's a formula, because you see Hard Knocks, and Hard Knocks has that family day where everybody comes out.
Yeah,
so
you're
just,
right.
It seemed formulaic.
Right.
And then you see girlfriends
and all reality shows.
And they always have somebody that has 13 kids, and you're like, oh, wow, did you bring a school bus? I had to buy a Sprinter van for them. Who knows?
Yeah. All I know is when I'm watching that, I'm like, I constantly find myself saying this. Are they going to class? Anyway, it's just...
because it's, that's what you're concerned
shouldn't
about.
Shouldn't you be paying them?
Yes.
Football players, ladies and gentlemen. Yes, sir. They're not going to class. No. I mean, I don't see them in class.
They go
maybe
to
I'm
class late night or before. This is the schedule they live during the football season, Mike. This is why people say that players should be paid. It is your job to be an athlete.
All right. Well, they do something in the episode that I watched. And I only watched one. Where we are going to implement that for our live show in Las Vegas, and that is 10 o'clock bed check. where the coach, that's me, goes from room to room, checking everybody to make sure that they're going to get a good night's sleep both Friday night and Saturday.
Do you have a bullhorn?
No, he doesn't do it with a bullhorn. He just drops in.
Oh, okay.
And you can tell they love it. They have a home game, and they still go to a hotel, so the team can be all in one place, and he can keep tabs on
everybody. This would be Mike for us, though. Hi, Mike. You got your vouchers? I'm going to go to bed, but not go to bed. See you in the morning.
Now, you all turn in. I'll be down in the slot machine area.
Oh, no, you wouldn't be that blatant about it. You'll be, I guess we're all in bed now, so I've got a do not disturb on my phone, so don't look for me in my room or the casino.
I will never live down that mistake where I said nobody, showbiz. But I still want to kind of do that. Yeah. We did that last time.
Then you called me at 10 p.m. and said, hey, what are you doing? I said, I'm in the hotel room. Come on down. I'm at the slot machine.
Okay, I'm a hypocrite. I'm a hypocrite.
Come on down.
Goddamn show.
Do you like the Mike O'Mara bonus show? I've been a big fan of the regular show ever since it was on Terrestrial. But I think the bonus show is the group's undisputed masterpiece. It's an epic meditation on intangibility. At the same time, it deepens and enriches the meaning of the regular show. Listen to the brilliant ensemble playing of O'Mara, Spiewak, and Santana. The show is extremely uplifting. It's as positive and affirmative as anything I've heard in a podcast. The TMOS bonus show. Don't just stare at it, buy it.
The best of O'Mara.
Oscar, I would tell you this as someone who has probably been in one or two joints in New Orleans of that nature that you were asking about. And I just think as far as the city is, even when I was a man in my 20s and 30s, that's not the... I don't think you lead with that.
Well,
it is not a sin city like Las Vegas.
I didn't want to ruin it for everybody.
You should have asked, though. I probably would have told you where he might have told you
about a side window there.
You're bringing your lady. You're not going to be going to a gentleman's club.
She doesn't like going out late. I need to do something. What if Ronique and I are hanging out?
Sure.
Ronique
knows.
Here's the dilemma I face with the great city of New Orleans. I mean, I realize it's fun. I realize we're going to be there for a couple of days. But the fact is, I'm pretty focused on giving everybody a really good show on Saturday night. So the idea of super drinky late nights, what I might do, though, to acclimate myself to the late night lifestyle, some of those jazz shows late at night sound like they could be spectacular.
Oh, yeah.
Like whatever the soul horns or whatever those are. Oh, my God, that sounds like it might be. And you can tell that I got it messed up already. But,
we recorded the entire interview, so we have a record
It should be special. It's really, really cool. Halloween here in Fort Myers, I mean, we kind of got it out of our system last week, and I think the little guys going to hockey practice on Halloween. I don't think we're planning anything.
You guys don't trick-or-treat?
We trick-or-treat in a controlled environment. There might be a few things going on, but
wouldn't
he's
somebody
got
knock
hockey
on
practice.
Your door at least?
No, nobody in here?
No.
Here?
I don't know. I'm sorry.
You got there are probably five people in a community over 500 that would even open their doors on Halloween around here.
Besides, the calling card of the trick-or-treater is the jack-o'-lantern, and yours is gone.
Thank you for the tip, because the squirrels destroyed the jack-o'-lantern.
Yeah.
That's exactly what it is.
A two-day jack-o'-lantern.
Effing squirrels.
It was 2 days. It lasted. And Rob said it was squirrels. And then I went out yesterday, and it was completely flat on the ground. And then it's even more destroyed today. So I guess they feast on the pumpkin. It's a feast for them.
When we lived in McLean, we had huge maple trees in our yard because it was an old house. And the squirrels would like wait, and we had a screen door. We could watch them come onto our porch and destroy our jack-o'-lanterns.
So it was actually fascinating. Jump all over it and push it down and chew on it and do all that crap? What are they doing?
Well, I mean...
They crawl inside it? Do they crawl inside of the
after
thing?
They eat
and
their way eggs. In. They, no, they don't lay eggs, Bonnie. Oh. They have live young. I did one time see a squirrel...
Eat their way in.
It is sort of creepy to see a squirrel climb in the mouth that you've carved, and the squirrel goes in and then comes out. It's it enters and exits that way.
Does it make me an animal abuser that I love watching those viral videos of the squirrels where they put like the bungee cord traps?
Love that.
Like they'll put a piece of peanut butter on the squirrel comes over and goes deep, 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 and then love just it. Takes off. I like
that. Well, they'd probably do them a favor, especially if they're a gliding squirrel, right?
Oh, yeah.
Like a sugar glider.
Flying squirrel, like Rocky. Squirrel.
Yes.
They're all flying squirrels.
Some of them have flaps.
Are you going to be going out or doing anything for Halloween after your weekend drink-a-thon,
I'm
Oscar?
Going over to my elderly neighbor's house, and I'm going to help her give away candy because Shannon is teaching yoga, and she wanted some company. So I'll go over really? There with Santos dressed up, and we'll help the old lady give away.
This is Robinson. You're trying to seduce me.
Yeah. Hello, Oscar. I wanted company. I'm dressed as a sexy witch. Hello.
I'm trying to picture the woman.
I'll take that roofie.
Is this a single lady that's the elderly lady?
Widower, Mike. Widower.
A widower.
Oh, yes.
Oh, it's a man.
No, it's a widow.
A widow is a man. Yeah. A widow is a woman.
Widow.
So you're going to an elderly.
Yes, their spouse died, stuff? Mike. That's what I mean.
Or okay, was we'll it see. Murder?
Let's do a little English 101 here. So if it's a guy, it's a widower.
Right.
If it's a lady, it's just a widow.
In this world of gender neutrality, Mike, do we really need to give that type of context? Someone died. That's what we really should focus on. You know, she's alone, and I'm trying to help her.
I'm simply pointing out as you stare down the age of 40 that you should assimilate even more by knowing the English language. And widower is a man, and widow is a
It's a widow.
Woman.
Not it's a black widow.
No, no.
A widow.
You see, color doesn't matter.
So that's a pretty, you've established, it's been a long time since we've checked in with Oscar's world, and you obviously are establishing relationships within the neighborhood. That's a good thing.
That is a good thing, especially if when you show up, she's taking your teeth out.
Can he answer, please?
Rob,
here he goes.
Jerk.
Now listen, he can't help himself because I'm speaking with you now.
Yes.
And he will try, this is him, he's in the back seat of the car with his father right now, and so he will jump in. So how is it, what are you going to, go ahead. What? Yes, you were going to talk.
How
okay.
dare you?
I'm not how dare me. You do that. That's what you do when we're talking.
No, but what was how
Oscar.
Dare you is when you tell me to shut up and then I shut up and you make it look like I was going to talk and then you make me a jerk.
Your mouth was open. You were going,
I stifled, though. The right. ultimate control is I can do this.
Okay. Oscar.
Yes.
Name is of it.
No, never mind. Yes. Yes, Mike.
All right. So, well, what's going on?
Well, as far as the neighborhood's concerned, the one thing that'll get you friends and it'll force you to meet your neighbors is having a little animal you got to walk around the block, right? So especially if the other people on the block that you become friends with have dogs as well. So essentially, we've gotten a chance. It's almost forced us to meet most of our neighbors that have other pets because, A, they know how to take care of dogs, and we know how to take care of dogs. I think that's the first thing you realize, especially when you live in the city.
And you're close enough with this widow that she's invited you over to hand out Halloween candy. That's a close relationship.
Yeah, but this is the same widow that I have been. I would check her mail for her this past year. Remember that one time I went and the alarms went off and the cops came? And I was like, oh, this is embarrassing. I'm the only Latin guy talking to cops on this block. And I swear I was given a code to this house. It was just the wrong code.
Is this relationship, is this social
friendship.
Not just neighborly? Like, have you broken bread or had a drink or two?
No,
with this lady?
No. So,
you haven't had like a formal social gathering?
No. But we hang out on the block a lot and we talk about all the gossip. It's always nice to do that.
So this will be the first time and you're popping over, right?
This is the first time I'm popping over to help out with Halloween because Halloween is so crazy. Crazy in Georgetown.
This is really so it's
we're not having an affair to confirm.
Yet.
Do you want to move past this?
No, I don't want to move past it. I just...
Because I have more questions about
Yeah, please,
this.
Please.
Don't it's you feel that every answer really sort it's of clipped. Asks... And it also clipped. Asks three more questions.
I'll field all the questions you
we'll
like
do
about
we
my
have to
relationship
finish
on the block.
We have to finish this. He's withholding, right?
He is, yeah.
I worked with him long enough.
Oh,
you
sure.
know that.
Yeah.
We'll take a break and come back with more. I never thought it would go in this direction. I was going to ask him about an iPhone. We'll take a break and come back with more fun on the Mike O'Meara Show.
Woo!
picture of Carla from Vegas or New Orleans.
Yeah, nice and dark.
The thing about it is he's got that big Dirk energy.
Big Dirk energy, yes.
That was good.
The Mike O'Mara Show podcast is chock full of laughs and stories. Every episode improves your mood, lifts your spirits, and gives you more male vitality. But for maximum impact, you have to subscribe to the TMOS Bonus Show. Only then can you get
Big Dirk energy.
Get hard for your money back.
It's P1 Hall of Famer Dirk Vastrick. Big Dirk energy is a real thing. I've been listening for almost 12 years, and the TMOS Bonus Show always puts a smile on my face, a spring in my step, and let's just say there haven't been any complaints in the bedroom.
Ooh, yeah!
Subscribe to the TMOS Bonus Show today and get Big Dirk energy. Click the banner at MikeOMaraShow.com.
It's electric. Woogie, woogie, woogie.
The best of O'Mara.
Taking a peek into Oscar's world right now.
Oscar's
I don't know
world.
What this is. I don't know whether this is hesitation to talk about it. He's not his usual exuberant self. I don't know if this is the weekend catching up with him. He seems different, does he not?
He does.
He seems like, I'm trying to get this info out of him, and if you want to move past the widow.
No, I don't have to move
past it. How old is the widow, would you estimate?
I would say 65.
Oh, that's young nowadays. That's young. And does she resemble anyone famous? Like Helen Mirren?
I would say, who's the lady, before she had all the plastic surgery? No, the lady from War of the Roses before she got
Kathleen
all, she
Turner?
Got puffy,
Kathleen
got
Turner?
Puffy, before she got puffy.
I knew there was a factor in that. I knew.
Shannon is definitely jealous.
If you'd like to come over. And
is Shannon really?
Butterfinger candy.
Shannon calls me her pool boy.
Pool boy?
Yes.
Ah, there we are.
And I said, look, Shannon, one day I'll die, and hopefully you'll have a pool boy on the block that comes over and helps you out.
That you occasionally will describe your neighborhood of Georgetown on Halloween, and you did it last year, but you kind of present
my car was vandalized.
You kind of present like a Night of the Purge scenario in Georgetown.
It's like you were there. Yes.
My memories of Georgetown was Don and I did a costume contest down at the Bayou, and we're chased up the street by a McDonald's French fries going, F you, F you. It was the last costume contest I ever judged. Probably Don ever judged as well.
Was it one of your worst nights as a broadcaster? Because you referenced it a lot.
Well, the fact was that we were responsible for judging. It was a big cash prize, and people get so pissed about not winning. And I said, we can never put ourselves in that situation again. So we would leave it to, if you'll notice, when you've worked with me for over 20 years, all the contests I've ever done, if there's ever a contest element, I do crowd applause usually. It's how does the crowd feel about it?
So you never want that onus on yourself.
No.
But, I remember it's been known as a rowdy time, and you apparently had your car vandalized last year.
Apparently. Yes, I had it done. I had two things done.
Calm down.
My hood stomped on, and someone walked all over my car, literally ran over my car with their bare feet and sneakers.
So was it bare feet or sneakers?
Both.
Oh, okay.
Because you can see sneaker prints on the sunroof and bare feet.
That's gross.
Now I don't dispute whether you're being honest here, but Shannon is not necessarily thrilled. Your wife, kind of strange.
My
to say
wife.
That, right? Your wife is not necessarily thrilled with you spending Halloween. What time are you going over to the widow's house?
6 p.m.
For how long?
6 p.m.
Yes. 6 p.m. I'll probably be there till 8.
Midnight.
Well, this is just
2 hours is wonderful.
To give you some context, last year, this wonderful neighbor came to me and said, hey, I know you're new on the block. This is going to be your first Halloween. Heads up, things get crazy. And I was thinking, get crazy, kegs, beer, frat boys, sorority girls, college kids, right? That's not it at all. It just gets crazy because why wouldn't you, if you live in the city, every kid in the city comes to Georgetown, right? You've got the proximity of houses that are right next to each other. So as far as trick-or-treating in a target-rich environment, it's perfect. But again, every kid in the city from all parts of the city, they're mixing in one space. They're teenagers. Two people got robbed.
I really thought that would have changed with the current administration. No, I really thought that they would have prevented that.
One person got essentially beat down right around the corner from my block. So it's
rough.
It gets dangerous.
Was she a widow last Halloween as well?
Yes. And she told me, she sent me.
Did you ever, were you handing out candy last year?
Yes.
Did you get anybody hinky coming to your door?
All of them. Every single person except for one little kid. Two couples came by that weren't hinky, that were just sweet and nice. Everyone
else, they're all older like kids.
They're
that
older
just want
kids.
Candy.
They're teenagers that want kids. They're barely dressed up. And I was judging myself and her, to be quite frank, because I was like, these are just teenagers. They're having fun. Why not, right?
Hey, by the way, have you guys gotten the post that's all over the place that says, hey, by the way, if the kids aren't dressed up, go ahead and give them candy. They could be doing something a lot worse. Have you seen that post?
No, but F that.
Maybe I'm the only one that's seen that.
Doesn't run on my feed, but I agree with you. I don't sit there. I want people to make some sort of effort, right?
Yeah.
Some sort of effort.
Well, it just, to me, Halloween, the point of demarcation was when we all started dressing as hobos, and then you were egging hobos. Cars and throwing toilet paper.
Yeah.
That dates me, doesn't it?
Hobos yeah.
Bums.
Bums.
I'm going as a bum.
Yeah, we tie a handkerchief on a stick.
Yeah.
Harry it over your shoulder.
Yeah, it's like, you got a bandana? Where's my bandana?
Yeah.
Hey, I need some. Mom, can I use some of your mascara? I just want to rub it on my forehead so
you know,
I look dirty.
We get a lot is freshman football players that just go around in their football uniforms.
Yeah, we had that too. I saw soccer players that were wearing like soccer jerseys.
So
it's, are you saying it's a dangerous environment in your neighborhood on Halloween?
I would say if you look at the what happened last year and you're looking at that data, yes. Like two robberies, I think three beatdowns total and whatever vandalism that wasn't reported.
And
okay.
The widow said, it can get pretty crazy out here. It's safe in my bedroom.
Well, last year after...
Did you initiate the visit? Did you say, I'll come over and I'll sit with you?
Mike, after I realized my car was vandalized, I went over her and I said, I apologize. I said, thank you for giving me the heads up. I apologize. I misunderstood what you were telling me. You were essentially saying, probably not a good idea to give out candy. And I thought you were just being a Debbie Downer, but you were telling me why. Now, this is what happened. She goes, I didn't know that there was no tactful way to tell you this. Like I tried to, and I said, no, you didn't do anything wrong. I just
there was
wasn't
a
listening.
Bad element, some bad seeds out there.
So imagine you're 65, you're in this home. She's not giving away candy because over the past few years it's gotten worse.
Sure.
And you hear people knocking on your door saying, we know you're in there. We know you're in there.
Oh, that's scary.
And you're all alone and you're in the city.
Yeah.
Right?
It's scary. It's very, very scary.
So
it's
now we're better friends. And I said, look, I'm not going to give out candy at my house because my girl is clearly not going to be there. It's not just going to be me giving out candy. She said, what are you doing for Halloween? I was like, I'm actually off on Tuesday. Why don't I come over? And I asked her to. I was like, I'll come over and give out candy with you because she enjoys that.
So she's basically enjoying the process,
yes.
And she feels the safety of having a strapping
a
man,
younger man,
a pool
there,
boy
next to her.
And I said, look, you dress like Elvira, I'll dress like Jon Snow. It'll be a great night.
You didn't say that, Elvira.
No, but if she did do that, that would be a treat for everybody.
If she dressed as Elvira,
oh yeah.
I mean, is the 65-year. Rob, I'm getting tongue-tied because there's so many multiple
when
levels.
When he said, okay, let's take a step back. He said that she looks like a pre-plastic surgery Kathleen Turner. Not bad.
Now, that's strong.
Yeah, and if she's 65, but
that's extraordinarily strong, right there.
Kathleen Turner at 65 would be strong. So, is she buxom?
I would say she works out. I'll leave it as that.
Okay, buxom means. Let me rephrase. Is she a little top heavy?
How about this? She's not sloppy.
Okay, still not answering, though.
They're not flapjacks.
Okay,
right?
Good. That's good. That's what I'm looking for.
So you're going to have a good time. You think you're going to have an adult beverage when you go over there?
I hope so. I'm not just going to stand there sober.
All right, that's good. That's good. Are you bringing your own candy?
I did buy a ton of candy off Amazon, so I'll bring it over there.
That's good. That's
she probably
very
has candy
exciting.
As well.
Mm-hmm. I think that's going to be super
delicious. It'll be fun. Now, this is where you guys have to tell me how I deal with this. There's a new couple across the street I think they're not my age. They might be Shannon's age, right?
Okay, a little younger than you.
Across the street, and they're in their, I said, mid-30s, and they are pumped for Halloween. But I don't think anyone has had the cojones to go tell them, hey, heads up, things change around here for a little bit.
There's never anything of a home invasion nature, right? It's not like they come to the door and kind of like, try to barge in.
It's a hostile crowd.
It's a hostile crowd, but all the activity comes out on the street. That's where people.
If your house is an inch from the
Good
street,
morning.
It's essentially. I mean, you can hear it all. When I heard the pandemonium break out last year, I was like, "There's a riot happening outside."
Are the 30-year-olds? Are they? Do they park on the street?
Yes.
Well, then just go out and jump on their car and say, "Happy Halloween! Happy
this
Halloween!
Is what it's all about here. This is what it's all about here. Come on now." Let me in. Let me in. I need. Let me into your house.
Yes, I want Reese's peanut butter cups. And then Oscar opens the door and it's just like,
oh.
Hello.
Yeah.
Hello.
I would welcome Sal. Like, it would be great to see him. But if I saw Sal three times in a row, or I would say three times in an hour, like I did last year.
Yeah.
Like, people just right, no shame, come right back and be like, did I just see you guys?
No, it's another guy.
Can I ask one more question about the widow?
Yes.
Is she well-heeled?
Well-heeled.
Does she have more?
Oh, I imagine you do if you live in essentially a corner lot. So
much bigger house than yours.
Oh my God, are you kidding me?
Yeah, boy.
I would say you could fit six of my houses in that home.
Wow,
you're looking forward to this, huh? This is going to be a fun evening.
Yeah. It's better than sitting at home hoping my car doesn't get stomped. At least I have some drinks. Talk about the good old days.
That's
and the costumes
true.
That
and,
are here.
And you've got a plan B.
Plan B. Shannon's not getting home till 10.
Yeah,
what
boy.
What am I going to do with that?
Boy, out there slaying the dragon doing those yoga poses.
Oh, they're
right?
Doing some moon seance at the yoga studio. Who knows?
Romeo and Juliet. Antony and Cleopatra. Bogey and Bacall. Add to that list another one of the world's greatest love stories. Mike and Carla O'Mara. Their love is like a red, red rose that's newly sprung in June. Their love is like the melody that's sweetly played in tune. And nowhere is that love story more on display than the Mike O'Mara Bonus Show. Yes, fall in love with love again and again with a Mike O'Mara Bonus Show subscription. Lovingly tap the banner at MikeO'MaraShow.com and order the TMOS Bonus Show today. You'll love it, just like Carla loves Mike.
The best of O'Mara.
The commercial that's out there, I don't know why it annoys me. It probably does because I'm in a zone now where I feel like on football, watching a lot of football, that the only people that are getting commercials on football games are the big regulars, you know. And the iPhone commercial, just on and on and on with their space age music and their super cool and throwing all sorts of stuff. And then the birthday cake landing on the iPhone. Everybody's seen that commercial
because
they bought a million of them. I will say that on an iPhone, outside of the ability not to butt dial, my other priority would be taking pictures of my kid.
Yeah.
And I see that this particular iPhone, it's not one, not two, but three different cameras on it, or camera lenses on it. And I know you are a man whose soul is full of gadgets, and you like to be first to get these
first.
Things. Are you purchasing that phone?
The answer is yes.
Is it part of that subscription plan you're in?
Well, that's a different story. Because as soon as the iPhone was announced, I saw it come down. I'm part of the lease your phone so you can get the new phone as soon as it comes out plan.
Right. Mm-hmm.
In the past, I would spend money that should have probably gone towards an oven to get the new phone that came out. And I said, there's got to be a smarter way.
Does the new iPhone have an oven?
Does not have an oven.
Oh, just checking.
I haven't heard the buzz that I've heard with
you're
previous.
Right. They have an iPhone 11. They have an iPhone 11 Pro. The 11 has two lenses. The Pro has three lenses. Now, you wonder, well, what's a third lens? One of them gives you a telephoto lens. The other one gives you just a better quality picture. Now,
right there. I have to stop
you. They're teasing you, Mike. They're teasing you.
No, I thought the third lens could read minds.
Oh,
so bummed out about that.
But what is exciting is this, is that the pictures.
His PIN number is.
And I've gone to the store to actually preview this phone.
Hold
put
it.
My hands on it.
Yeah. By the way, is my camera setting, now that I white balance it, on the cadaver setting? I've got a bit of color in my face. Why do I feel like I'm gray today?
Addie? What's your take?
Maddie, what's happening?
Yeah.
Maddie, we're having an earthquake.
Oh, my God.
Oh, my God. What's going on? I don't know. All right. Does it look all right, Maddie?
That seems a little better now. Maybe it just took an earthquake.
So, what is your upside? Your upside is that if you're a
if you live and die by these pictures,
right,
and you want what I would say is a widescreen picture or telephoto lens, mm-hmm. or more options, they have a pet portrait mode, Mike, if you want to take pictures of Frankie so he looks like he's an absolute model dog. Now they have that feature.
What's the difference between a pet portrait mode and a regular portrait mode? By the way, I've used the portrait mode. And I like it.
Yeah.
Yes.
I like it a lot. Mm-hmm.
So yes, the pet portrait mode is tuned in order to actually, I would say, compensate for how much a pet moves around. So
faster exposure, yeah, perhaps?
And you can, the way that they sell you is that you can see the actual hairs on, if you zoom in, on your pet. Pretty crazy.
Yeah, Carla's becoming an esthetician. She actually might use that mode on some of her waxing subjects.
To figure out which hair she needs to remove.
Yeah, exactly. Yes. By the way, she's been giving me some of the details on that, on the bikini wax, which is part of her training. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, you know, they come in from behind sometimes.
The
you
hairs?
Know what I mean? That's, no, not the hairs.
That's funny. That is hilarious, actually.
Sneaky little buggers.
No.
So
that if to get rid of the hair, they come in from.
Yeah.
Yeah. There. I always thought it would be best if it would be like the string on the top of a bag of dog food. If you just pulled it, they all came out. $40, please.
Yeah. That's what, so do you like the phone?
So,
well, you don't have
I'm sorry,
yet.
The pet portrait mode is still went to Brazilian wax mode.
I apologize. Let me get us back on track. You say that the difference between the 11 and the 11 Pro is 2 to 3 lenses, right?
What is
the third lens that makes it the Pro? What's the add-on?
The add-on is the telephoto lens, if I'm not mistaken.
Okay, all right, so that gets you super close.
Bottom line is this. I read about this 2 weeks ago. I got excited. I went to the store. I said, upgrade me, please. I'm on this lease program.
Mm-hmm.
This is where they get you. Am I going to get this phone? Yes. I will get it in March of next year, because apparently I have to keep my phone
for
a full effing year before I can upgrade, which is in the fine print when I'm paying a premium.
It's more like 6 months. So it's half a year because they come out with stuff every 6 months, so you can't get it right.
Yeah, but I was under the impression if I go lease, baby.
So you're not going to have your new phone when we see My Fair Lady?
I'm not going to have it.
That sucks.
Are you going to get the iPhone 11 Pro or the iPhone 11 Pro Max?
Pro Max, Mike. Pro Max.
Oh, what's the Pro Max?
Big one. Do you know what that retails for?
I don't need to know because I'm leasing.
Can I guess?
Go ahead.
I'll guess the Pro Max. That's the top Magilla. I will say that is $1,899.
$1,099.
Whoa!
It's an expensive phone.
Cheaper than a puppy.
But Mike, I lease them.
But you need one to take pictures of the puppy.
Now, mm-hmm. as far as the pictures are concerned, I don't know if anybody listening in our audience outside of photographers really use all those modes.
Mm-hmm.
I know that most people now use portrait mode if they have that, or they actually use the camera over any other, I guess, DSLR, because DSLRs, you got to walk around.
Sure. It's an extra thing.
But it's not the same. I would say that if you have an iPhone 7, upgrade to the 11. If you've got an iPhone X, it may not be worth your upgrade. It just may not be worth it.
Well, I'm not going to do it because but I hate this phone.
What do you have?
I hate my phone. I have the iPhone X.
Okay.
I have the iPhone X Max, and I'm not going to be subscribing.
Same here.
No.
Now,
not going to do it. I don't think I got the thing you got, which is the get a new lease. Phone every hour or something like that.
It's the lease.
On the hour.
The lease.
Yeah. It's a lease.
I don't know.
So
don't know
the hype behind
iPhones on the 8.
There's
Mike.
Also a 3D version of the pictures you can take with the iPhone 11 Pro that makes your pictures look like they're in 3D. That I've seen, and it is cool.
So they use both cameras to give the illusion of depth?
All three.
Oh, they use all three.
Yes.
Okay.
Mm. Oh, see, that's cool.
That is
cool. And you don't need glasses for that?
Yeah. You don't need glasses.
Wow. I'll wait a generation.
Not 10 years.
But you know, at my age, that can be dangerous. You know,
you know, Mike. The last time you said you're going to wait a generation was after your second marriage.
But for all you, all you, Andrew.
Sorry, he's in that mode.
He's killing. He's killing.
I know.
All you Android fans out there, you're probably like
losers.
Well, you're like Samsung's had of 3 to 4 cameras forever. Like we're always catching up. I bow down to you because the Google Pixel. Great effing phone.
Bow down. Carla can also give you a bikini wax.
The Samsung Note. It's
a surprise bikini wax.
It is a great phone. This is the problem. I can't get into a world where I don't see a blue message from another friend. We've talked about this before. They lock you into their ecosystem. So when you text someone, you want to make sure that they got the message.
Right.
So if you had an Android or I had an Android, then I wouldn't know if you actually got my message.
This is why it's annoying when we have a group text and Pony replies in green.
Pony, who hates the Apple Corporation, always has, always will. And, you know, even though it affects his job adversely.
Yeah, exactly.
Shannon is here, and I want her to confirm that we do not fight at night. Come on in.
She's fixing her hair, just like I do before I come on
the woman who's married to the Velociraptor.
That's right.
Shannon, they're calling me a monster.
Hi, you look lovely today. That aqua is your color.
Oh, stunning. Thank you, sir. Thank you. You look lovely as well.
Well, God bless you. Right back
you
at
two
you.
You break That's it up.
Wait, I thought I was talking.
Not anymore. Let me say this. Shannon, the guy said that when we argue at night, I say, hey, I don't want to talk about this anymore in a manner because, quite frankly, I'd rather just go to bed and then discuss it in the morning. Does that bother you? Because it bothers them when their wives do that to them.
Oh.
She's thinking.
This is tough.
It is.
Mm-hmm. Bother me when... Well,
like,
I mean, I guess
like
I get
if you
it.
Guys have a, if you guys have a disagreement, and the way it works in our house, Carla is very, very comfortable with being able to, you know, we'll have that moment, and then she will turn in and sleep like a baby. And we'll probably revisit it. Sometimes we won't. I am the closer. I have to get closure or it drives me nuts and I will have a terrible night. So which category do you fall into? Oscar indicated that he can be having a disagreement. And if he's tired and he just wants to go to sleep, he can shut it down. We weren't clear on what side you were on with that. Does that drive you nuts if he does that? Or are you the same way where you can sleep well if you're in the middle of some disagreement or something?
I have to apologize because... I do feel like I would rather just turn in and go to sleep because otherwise, because I mean, I've dated people who kept me up until the like 3 a.m. and then I was miserable at work the next day.
Okay.
So I think
so you fall, you both are in the same category.
Yeah.
All right.
And, this is why it's the happiest marriage in the world.
Also,
and they seem very content.
And also,
although he's a velociraptor monster.
Oh, she just kissed my headphone. thank you, Peter. I love you. Thank you.
Thank you, Shannon.
We're on the same page.
Thank you.
Don't ever bring up your ex-boyfriends again.
Bye.
Your chatty ex-boyfriends. Talk.
All right, we got a break. Rob, you should wear a dress like that to work sometime.
I have.
A little off-the-shoulder action. That would be great.
The UBS Evening News with Howard Beale.
I don't have to tell you things are bad. Everybody knows things are bad. It's a pandemic. You're upset and you're angry and you stare at your podcast player and you say, please don't take my Friday cocktail party or my shopping center or my bonus show or my steel Belgian radials. Luckily, you've got the Michael Merry Show and it's not going anywhere. We know things are bad, worse than bad. They're crazy. It's like everything everywhere is going crazy, so we don't go out anymore. You've got to say, I'm a human being, goddammit. My life has value. And that's okay, because you can always go to your computer, open a window, and type MichaelMeraShow.com. Do it. You'll be glad as hell, and you won't have to take it anymore. MichaelMeraShow.com, making you as glad as hell. I must make my witness.
The best of O'Mara.
Welcome back to the Mike O'Mara Show. Well, no more fruitcake for sale. Thank you to everybody.
Yes,
involved.
Thank you. Last second push like no other.
We will. Oscar's going to be checking on the numbers with that, and I think it's safe to say we are thrilled with the response this year for the fruitcake fundraiser, which is really what it will be called from this point forward.
Yes,
the fruitcake fundraiser. If you missed out, boy, are you stupid!
What a jerk.
And out of luck. Yes, he's continuing, ladies and gentlemen. Unless you want to mix it up and get smart, do you?
Huh?
Well, just grab your device and order the TMOS bonus show. It's an unscripted, unrestricted, no holes barred sixth episode of TMOS that you can get every week. It's money.
Money!
Woo! Just click the banner on our website and you get access to all of our bonus content and to help the show. It is and shall always be
the passport to the Osport.
Nice pronunciation on there.
Please buy the bonus show, yes. TMOS bonus show, brought to you by Levitts. For all your furniture needs, Levitts features moderately priced.
This is good.
The TMOS bonus show, brought to you by Levitts. For all your furniture needs, Levitts features moderately priced brand name furniture from a warehouse-styled store. Your favorite furniture destination, defunct since 2008. You'll love it at Levitts. Thank you very much. Let's open up the audio vault for the first day. Try to remember the first day of October.
I can't tell you how much fun it is bringing up clients that I remember from when I was 10.
Delightful. Levels, perhaps.
Yeah, maybe. Yeah, you never can tell. You never can tell. Christmas came a little early for Beatles fans. Today is the day, 50 years ago, that Abbey Road was released. And if you ordered the box set, the restoration.
Can I get my normal reaction?
Please.
All right.
Wow! You got your copy. And, Mike, you can do that. But I would say that there are certain people that.
Every day it's a Beatles story. Every day. What's wrong with you?
Yes. There are certain people that may want to check their email today for something special that's coming to them via digitally. I don't personally ever share music, but maybe you know someone who does.
Okay. All right.
Wink, wink.
I got it. Okay. Thank you.
You'll love it.
Thank you, Rob. Thank you.
What's so special about it?
What's so special is that they have totally broken it down into the original recording tracks. Now, they only had 8-track technology.
Like what you played last time.
Exactly. Yeah. So this is the anniversary, and Beatles.com is a fun destination. I actually put the total remix of Here Comes the Sun on your Facebook wall this weekend, and it sounds dynamite. But here's a little sort of montage the Beatles put together to promote the release that's really neat because it involves the music and actual Beatles talking. Come together right
now over me. I was sort of going through my hands like that.
You tended to think, well, if there's going to be a single, it would be John and me that would write it. And then suddenly George just came up with the song, you know, something in the way.
In an octopus's garden in the shade.
The last section of Abbey Road. For me, one of the finest pieces we put together.
What George says here is really cool.
We didn't know, or I didn't know at the time, that it was the last Beatle record that we would make, but it kind of felt a bit like we were reaching the end of the line.
I think it was, in a way, the feeling that it might be our last. So,
and I think that is sort of cool, knowing in historical perspective they went into making it, not sure it was going to be the final thing. And that, to me, is not how I understood it. And so to know that the Beatles said they had plans, and there's now actual transcriptions of a meeting where they said they were planning another album.
Yes.
That's cool.
Mike, I know we don't like talking about other shows on this program, but I saw a clip of Stern interviewing Paul McCartney, and he actually asked Paul, he said, like, who broke up the Beatles? And he says John. John broke up the beat. Paul McCartney says John, and he says John because John, and now in retrospect, because he was
And Yoko.
Because he was in love with Yoko, and he said near the end, she would be at the recording sessions. It was completely different.
Yeah, it's real convenient to say that. She kind of insinuated herself in it. He was in love with it. What, you're saying we might be wrong
about
that.
Very convenient to say that because Paul was the first person to do a solo project after the band broke. I mean, I think I think the writing was on the wall.
Can I finish?
Oh, yeah. I thought you were going
to. No. I know you love. I'm not. You know this better than I. This is just what I saw. Paul says to Stern, he says, look, John said that this was it. And in looking back at it, he was in love with this woman and wanted to be with Yoko. And that's what he wanted to do with his life. And what he thought was interesting and a little strange is that when he said, well, I still want to make music, and he pursued his solo career. Mm-hmm. That the Beatles still had another album coming out, or they had some retrospective or some best of,
that they sent Ringo to John's house to say, hey, I know you have your own personal album coming out that was set in stone and the release date and everything's good to go. You can't do that yet because we haven't released our Beatles album. So it was a legal document saying you can't release your Paul McCartney album because we have this other Beatles album that's going to cannibalize what we're doing with the Beatles.
So whose house they sent Ringo to Paul's house?
To Paul's house.
Yeah, you said John before.
But yeah. And Paul told Ringo to get the f*** out of his house.
Really?
Yeah, because he's like, wow. I didn't want to break up the band.
Yeah.
You're telling me I can't release my own album?
And it's so funny when you think about even in those guys, and their career was, considering what they generated, was remarkably short. In America, they were essentially a band for 6 years.
Yeah, but whose side do you, Beatles fan number one, mm-hmm. after hearing that story?
I think I always have felt, and now more than ever, Paul is sort of a robot with a Mozart hard drive in him. I think he's a brilliant musician, but I also think he is mechanical in a lot of the things he does. And I always felt that he is really quick to blame the Yoko thing, but I think he's probably the driving force because I think they were all sick of him.
He also said, he said to Stern, he said he had made amends with John after the fact.
Yeah.
And he had made amends with Ringo and they are now friends. But he would go and visit John in New York.
Mm-hmm.
And we talk about this all the time, Mike. You never know what tomorrow holds for any of us.
Right. Yeah.
So if he had not made amends with him and mm-hmm. become friends again, it would have haunted him for the rest of his life.
And I think there's a lot of revising, a lot of revisionist history, and there's only two Beatles left, and there's only two people that really know what happened. So
safe to say George didn't break up the Beatles.
No, certainly not. No.
And probably Ringo didn't. It's either John or Paul.
That would be like Ringo quitting his job at Dairy Queen. He needed the work. For anyone who thinks that things were totally good with Paul, I invite them to watch on YouTube. They did a brief reunion of George and Ringo and Paul when they were putting out Beatles Anthology, and Paul is calling out songs for them to play together, and you can hear George's eyes rolling because it's, hello, you know, we're going to get together now, and it's upbeat with the boys, and we're going to do this song now, and it's great. And George is like, okay. And so, I mean, I do think that Paul is sort of a robot that also...
What do you mean by sort of a robot?
He's mechanical in his efforts to keep the Beatles' name out there and to keep touring.
So when you say he's a robot, he's a heartless machine?
A little bit. I think he's got a lot of business.
He doesn't have any real emotional connection to it.
I think
he's more just realizing that it's a meal ticket.
I believe so. And he has the most amazing, amazing song catalog to draw from of any musician that walks the earth today and mm-hmm. still does the same set list every night in concert, same ad-libs every night in concert, same jokes every night in concert. And we know he's a funny, smart guy.
So according to you,
this is Paul just my feeling.
McCartney is the FMTPO.
FMTPO?
Is the Beatle FMTPO. For me to poopa!
Exactly. Exactly. But that's what I feel. I feel that he's probably really hard to work with. And I've not
heard of... have a light moment here. So much Beatles heaviness. Jesus Christ.
Show me an interview where someone says, oh yeah, he was fun to work with. You don't hear it a lot.
From Paul. Okay,
let's hear this. We'll close with this. Mike, in New Zealand, the ASICS store, the sporting supply mm-hmm. company, has one of those big jumbotrons in front of it where they can
great
show
shoes,
commercials
by
and
the way.
Stuff.
Very good mm-hmm. shoes.
You see them in New York. You see all the big shopping districts. Well, there was a mistake the other day, and for a couple hours, the ASICS Jumbotron was showing porn on the street.
No.
And that's not good.
Sportswear brand ASICS issued an apology after video screens outside one of its stores in New Zealand played pornographic videos for several hours. Employees caught on after people kept coming in to buy one sock.
That's not okay. And that's your Magic Audio Vault.
All right. Once again, here we are with Hollywood. And you know what? The movie The Joker was fascinating to me based on the look of Joaquin Phoenix.
Oh,
he is emaciated with his oversized head. Anyway, it looks like a head on a stick. And he looks scary. But I have to say something. Oscar's going to go see it. I am not.
Okay.
And I'll explain the whole thing to you. But the trailer that I looked at matched the reviews that I read. And the trailer to me was like, there are split seconds that look absolutely terrifying, where just his face, yeah, and he's parting his lips. But there was nothing in the trailer that really grabbed me. And then when I read the reviews, including the most recent this morning in the New York Times, about, you know, what's the fuss about? I kind of said,
oh, really?
And then Carla says, did you hear that people are worried now that there's going to be an attack? I don't want to go see that movie. I'm like, you know what? Based on the reviews I read and you reacting to the hype machine that's out there, which is but really the review horrible.
Was, the review was what?
The reviews that the movie is not all that. It's not that good. And it's not. There's not a lot happening in the movie. That's the.
What about
that
the darkness?
The gist of the review.
The tone.
They really didn't dwell on that. Mm. The movie is getting about 69% on Rotten Tomatoes. The public really wants to see it. It's gonna be a smash.
Sure.
I'm glad you're going to see it. I welcome your your review
feedback.
Of it. But we're not gonna do it. We're not going to see. We're gonna go see the Rob Spiewak film.
Endorsed, Judy. Officially endorsed. Yes,
Judy.
Well, you would endorse it no matter what. It's old 60s pop culture, and you would endorse it no matter who it was.
Even right? though she's got a very small mouth. This.
Do you endorse Renee Zellweger as Judy Garland because don't like Renee Zellweger?
I am on the fence. Based on the clips I have seen, sometimes she looks dead on and sounds brilliant as her. Sometimes she doesn't. I need to see the full film, and I will see the full film.
What's Judy Garland's rap?
Judy Garland was the mother of Liza Minnelli.
Oh.
Judy Garland was a child star, most notably
Annie.
In The Wizard of Oz.
Oh.
No, she was not Annie. Oh. The Wizard of Oz. She's Dorothy. You've seen The Wizard
of
Oz.
Tap Dorothy. Your heels.
She's Dorothy, and then she went on to have a musical movie theater career and did very, very well.
Was she in The Sound of Music?
No, that would be she was Julie Andrews.
I'm sorry.
That's Julie Andrews, a little later down the road. And she was also a famous singer, went on the Ed Sullivan Show a lot.
Broadway?
That's where I saw her as a kid. Broadway. She was on Broadway, yes. And
Jack
really,
Parr, great guest on the Jack Parr Show. She used to come
Jack
out and make
Parr
up stories,
show.
Yeah.
Carol Burnett Show?
Never did Burnett.
Oh.
But the how do you know that? How do you know that for a fact?
Well, because the timeline doesn't jive.
Okay, all right. Just would you like to add anything? I know you're chomping at the bit over there.
Not really. She was one of the top box office draws in the late 30s, early 40s. She was often paired with Mickey Rooney. They made a series of films that made a mint for MGM. She was very bankable, but the tragic turn to the story is that because she was a kid and they were working her so hard, they would pump her full of uppers and downers to get the most out of her, to keep her from gaining weight. She was really almost mentally abused by Louis B. Mayer because she was such a valuable property. And that came really to bring her to her death in 1969. She was, I think, only 47 when she died.
She was drug-addled. She was a drug addict.
Like Mayer Motion Pictures?
What's that? Like Louis B. Mayer at MGM.
Wow. If you see clips of her on black and white television in the 60s, would that be right?
Yeah.
The 60s, you'll see somebody who really does appear to be horribly addled. She's like, she's very, and it also went along with, in my Easter bonnet, much like Liza sings.
Yes.
Yeah. But
yes.
She got away with that singing. The most famous song I think she sings is the one that got away. The Man That Got Away. And that, but she still always sings with that, and she was really messed up, and she looks messed up, and she was messed up because she was, required, like so many performers, the drugs to get her through the day, and it was really, really sad story that she ended up like that, and child stars were kind of messed up.
47.
And this is Judy Garland from the 60s. But I don't think you can tell by listening to a song because I think
you need to
she
see
had
her.
An amazing voice. She really did. I mean, from all the way from Somewhere Over the Rainbow. Let's say this is Judy Garland, the real Judy Garland.
The night is bitter. The stars have lost their glitter. The wind grow colder.
Beautiful.
Suddenly older.
I'll let it hit the high note.
And all because of the man that got away.
And I think she was accepted with all of her obvious limitations, drug-wise and otherwise, because she was so beloved.
And the basis of the movie Judy, it actually goes from her childhood and flashes back and forth. By the late 60s, she was broke.
Oh my God.
Had no money and uninsurable, therefore unemployable. Mm. So she had to fly to London to do a series of concerts. And that was like the last high moment of her career.
That sounds like a depressing movie to go see.
Yeah, my cup of tea right there. Absolutely. I'll be going out to see Judy. Should be a lot of fun.
Which is more depressing, the Joker or Judy?
Well, we'll compare our depressing. We'll compare notes on our depressing movie experiences when we come back. All right, ladies and gentlemen, it's time. Let's dive in. And we now have the music. Rob Spiewak's Nostalgia Corner. Oh, there you are. Yes, you went kind of cartoony.
Well,
yes,
actually, this is the scene set music for My Three Sons.
My Three Sons. What do you have this week, maestro of the past?
We go back 63 years, Mike.
Wow.
The year is 1956.
Wow.
Dwight Eisenhower is our president.
Mm-hmm.
My Fair Lady opens on Broadway. Videotape is invented and used for the first time.
Oh, that's good videotape.
And we are in the throes of the Cold War. And you may ask yourself... 1956.
Internet. All right, go ahead.
What? Sorry. It's 1956, Mike. You turn on the radio. What are people listening to? What's the number one songs of 1956?
Elvis?
Not yet. Don't read ahead. This is a number one hit from 1956. This is called The Poor People of Paris.
This is? Yes. I thought you were playing like staging music.
No,
this is like a hit?
This is a number one hit in early 1956. Also in early 1956, you got... Tennessee Ernie Ford's 16 Tons.
Oh, my life. Some
people say a man is made out of mud.
I like this.
A poor man's made
basically a folk song.
We were just rolling out of the Depression, though, right? Around that time?
No, that's...
No.
About 25 years after the Depression.
No.
Roughly.
16 Tons. Tennessee Ernie Ford was just rolling out of the Depression.
And another, Mike, another number one hit from 1956. It's called Moonglow, the theme from Picnic, which to me sounds like elevator music. But this was the number one song.
So the first one sounded like
elevator. Yeah, this is the number one song on the pop charts.
Yeah. How many radio stations were out there?
There is 208.
Is this a record? Is it like a radio airplay?
This is the Billboard Hot 100.
Is this before the explosion of rock and roll?
Yes, it is. And I just want to set the stage. This is what people were listening to in 1956. Mm-hmm. All right. So in the summer of 1956, Elvis Presley is starting to become a thing. And he's booked. Everyone remembers Elvis on the Ed Sullivan Show, but he was not debuted on the Ed Sullivan Show. He did several shows first. And he was booked to go on the Milton Berle show. And when he went on Berle, he covered a song that he had not recorded yet, but it existed, and it was called Hound Dog.
You ain't nothing but a hound dog.
The original.
Who did this one?
This is called Big Mama Thornton. And this was a hit around Memphis, and that's how Elvis knew it. And it was a big one in his live shows. And he'd come out and he'd do it, and he'd really, really kill it. So when he went on Milton Berle,
singing sensation all over the country, Elvis Presley.
And this is like the first time people ever saw Elvis sing Hound Dog, first time many people had ever heard the song Hound Dog. And so he went into it with bumping and grinding, and the next day, the papers tore him up. They were sort of ambivalent leading up to it, but they called it comical. They called it a farce. They called it, quote, hillbilly burlesque.
Ooh.
They called it bumping and grinding, and it drove Elvis crazy because that's not what he was about. So to set the record straight, that next day, he went to the studios of RCA Victor in New York City, and up to then, he had a sound. A lot of reverb on his voice.
I've been traveling over my...
That sounded... This is one of his first recordings. It gives a good example of the sort of tape... effect of echo that gives him this sort of otherworldly sound, but it's also sort of a hillbilly sound. Right. And up to now, they were trying to replicate that sound and keep that echo on his voice, but Elvis did not want to be known as a hillbilly. So he went in and he said, lose all the reverb off my voice. We're going to make a new kind of record, and this is what we're going to record.
You ain't nothing but a hound dog, to cry all time.
And the thing that blows my mind, he did 31 takes of this song. When you listen to how hard he's singing, the one you're listening to right now is take 28.
Can you go back to the reverb and then play it just as high because I just want to compare the two?
I've been traveling over miles.
Yeah, I get it.
And what's neat is
that back to Hound Dog, please. You ain't nothing
but a hound dog. Also,
it's a much better recording, right?
Yeah, and also the same band. It's just his same three pieces that are captured. Elvis went in with a sound knowing what he wanted, and he got it. And
that's why
sort of
these guys are geniuses.
Shut the critics down.
It's always about sound. Read about the Rolling Stones and how they did it.
Precisely.
It's all sounds, putting microphones in front of amps and getting different sounds and using different guitar sounds. Sound, sound, sound. Yes, the melody's important. Yes, the lyrics are important.
Oh, but it's the sound.
The sound of these records, taking the same melodies. That's why somebody can record a song and it's a flop and somebody else can change it just a tiny little bit and it becomes a hit. So did he explode after this?
He exploded. This song was released on a 45 RPM record on July 13th, 1956. There was a pretty good song on the flip side as well.
Teddy Bear.
Don't Be Cruel.
Oh, and Don't Be Cruel, sorry.
This would be the greatest selling single record until Boys to Men in the 1980s. It would still be at number one, I believe, for 14 weeks. This song?
Don't Be Cruel. Oh, yeah.
Now, the button on this story is that he got so big based on this one record, Ed Sullivan, who vowed he would never book Elvis Presley.
Why?
Because he thought he was hillbilly farce, burlesque, all this stuff. He couldn't ignore him. He booked Elvis for four appearances. And in late 1956, he brought Elvis out on stage and Sullivan said, "I want America to know this is a fine, good boy." And that little sentence from Ed Sullivan legitimized Elvis for all of America because Sullivan was that important. And it also legitimized rock and roll.
Well, now you know, ladies and gentlemen, he's a fine, good boy. And for the next 35 seconds, you're going to watch him shake his balls on national television.
Didn't that make... That was when...
The final appearance on Ed Sullivan, because of the uproar, he was only shown from the waist up.
Mm.
But that is the truth. And the fact is that rock and roll, which was feared by most of white America in 1956, based on the fact that Ed Sullivan said it was okay, rock and roll would proceed and become the dominant music force for the next 25 years.
Now, what were the Beatles the first on Ed Sullivan as well?
Now, the Beatles made their American debut on Ed Sullivan in February of 1964. So this would be 8 years after this or so.
Mm-hmm.
But Ed Sullivan set the template for pop music for much of the 1960s.
Has anybody covered Hound Dog since?
Yeah, Jeff Beck has done it. It's interestingly the only song that Elvis sang in every concert he ever did from when he recorded it on. Mm. There's other songs that would come and go out of his act, but this is the one he always did.
Hound Dog.
I'm
shocked that I love this.
Yeah, that was a good one this week, right?
This week, pretty good.
Exactly. Do you have closing music?
Your Nostalgia Corner.
That's the Nostalgia Corner for Rob Spiewak. Thank you, Rob Spiewak.
Thank you.
Want more? Make sure you check out the Mike O'Mara Bonus Show. Get it at MikeOMaraShow.com.
Mike O'Mara, Radio Entertainment.